Is everyone, can you hear me?
Okay.
So Pastor Ian's helping me with something in the back, so while he's doing that, I just wanted to come up and welcome you guys again to church this morning. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for being here. As each of you walk in the door on Sunday morning, it just puts a little pitter-patter in my heart. You know, it takes a lot for church to run, but church is a building. Church is not just a building. What the church is the people here in the seat. It's each life that walks through the door. It's each story that comes in. It's each person. It's each beat of your heart. That is what makes up church. So from my family to yours, I just want to thank you guys so much for being here, for doing life together, for connecting with each other, for sharing vulnerable moments together, for sharing struggles together, and also sharing praises and what God is doing in your life. Thank you for sharing those things together in those moments. So I just wanted to pray for us one more time before he comes up to share the message today. And you know me, I'm probably going to cry, but it's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you with humble hearts right now, Lord. Father God, thank you for waking each and every one of us up this morning. Father God, our hearts are beating. Our lungs are working. This breath that you gave us right now, and this breath, Father God, these breaths are precious gifts from you. Lord, life is so precious, and there is so much going on in each and every one of our lives. Some things we share, some things we hold private inside, but Lord, you know all of the struggles that we carry. You know the worries and the burdens and the hardships that we have. You know the doubts that we carry, Lord. Father God, I just invite you to meet us right where we're at, Lord. Remove any distraction, any burden, anything that we're keeping in the way of connecting with you. Father God, this church is your church. These people are your people, Father God. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Bring us together, Lord. Bring that sense of community, that sense of love and family, Lord, that you are our Father and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, Father. Lord Jesus, just continue to guide our steps. Continue to keep us safe. Continue to make us healthy, Lord. And for those that are struggling, those that are dealing with health issues right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask for healing over them in your precious name. Father God, you are a Father of miracles, Lord. You are our healer. And Father God, we just ask for healing from the inside out, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical, mental healing, whatever type of healing is needed, in Jesus' name, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to cover each and every person in here right now. I pray for their families, Lord. God, just continue to be our strength. We love you, we thank you, and we trust you, and we give this morning over to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 All right, so we're getting towards the tail end of 1 Peter and in this little mini-series that we've been getting in. And I think we're at an important moment as a church, not just in this series, but just as a church. Amen? And it's not because anything's wrong, but because I believe God is continually calling us to a deeper level than where we've been. Deeper in our prayer, deeper in our faith, deeper in our knowledge of Him. And when I say deeper, I don't just mean busier. We're not just going to start adding a bunch of stuff, okay? But we're not going to try to make something look just exciting either. But what I mean is becoming more faithful in the way to follow Jesus. Understand His word and live in obedience to Him daily. Because spiritual growth does not happen accidentally. Remember last week when we read, Peter said we must turn from evil and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. And that kind of life doesn't happen from casually drifting through Christianity. Okay? Nobody becomes spiritually more mature just by sitting and attending. Discipleship requires surrender. It requires intentionality. It requires allowing Jesus to shape the way we think, the way we live, the way we speak, the way we talk, the way we act. Everything in our lives are dedicated to Him. And Sundays is a great start. Sundays We come together, we fellowship. But we need to be shaped by Him in every aspect of our life. And honestly, I think one of the greatest dangers right now for modern churches is that it is completely possible to be around Christianity as the way the world sees it without being transformed by Christ. It's also the way, and I think it's funny, people might not think it's funny, but I think it's hilarious in movies and TV shows, or just in general, when people like that you've met 7 minutes ago, love you, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Because to me, that, like, when the way I grew up, that's a meaningful word. Like, I didn't tell my wife I loved her until I knew, which was about 6 hours. But it's like, it's a very meaningful thing, right?
It is.
In the same way, I think Christianity has kind of gone down that road too, where people say, oh, you're a Christian. And they think you're nicer maybe, or you go to church, you attend something on Sundays. But it in a lot of modern ways, in a lot of modern churches, that has not transferred into the life of people, into what their daily walk is like. They think of that Sunday service is amazing. What are you talking about, Sunday service? What about the people that left? Because Christianity is the people, the body of Christ. And I think that there's been this time where now you can look around and say, there's Christianity, but you're looking at people that aren't truly formed by Christ. So we can attend church, we can hear sermons, we can sing worship songs, we can even have it on our playlist, and still settle into a version of faith that stays comfortable rather than transformational. And Peter is writing to believers living in a culture that is just, they're pressing against their faith. And instead of telling them to blend into the world around them, Peter continually calls them to live differently because of who Jesus is and what he has done in their life. Okay, so Peter's point in these letters, in this letter, is simple. He calls them to live differently. And he's saying, if Christ suffered, if Christ rose again, if Christ reigns right now, then his people cannot continue living as if their old life still owns them. And that's where I think, the reason why I said this morning that I think we're being called into something deeper, because this is ultimately not talking about programs, systems, what can we do to be flashy, what can we do to be drawing people in. It's about whether we are truly becoming disciples who are shaped by Christ in every area of our life. And now we get to this point where we're beginning in verse 18, and Peter shows us what kind of life is possible in the first place. Not because Christians need to try harder, right? Not because they need to try harder to look spiritual and like put on a certain outfit or talk a certain way, but because of Jesus Christ, because of what he has already done and the authority that he reigns now. So verse 18, what is it? It's right here. It's all one color. It's really good job. My wife even got me the bold Bible and I still can't find it. I need like a big Bible. But verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. That verse right there in this whole letter is really the heart of the gospel. Christ suffered once. He died once. It was complete. It is finished. The righteous one died for the unrighteous so that sinful people could be brought back into a relationship with a holy God. Amen? And Peter begins here because everything about the Christian life, starts with what Christ has already done. Okay? Discipleship has always been a response to the grace that we are already given through Christ. We do not obey so God will love us. God already loves you. We obey because through Christ we already belong to Him. That's why in Romans 12:2 it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Amen.
So if we're not being intentionally formed by Christ, if we will naturally drift towards a pattern that the world is creating around us. So like Peter reminded us last week that we must turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. We need to trust that God transforms us. But we also listen when the Spirit convicts us to take the next step in obedience. And that is so true, because if there's no visible difference in our lives, then our witness does not become clear to the world around us. If they don't see anything different, and you're a Christian, but they can do the same exact thing as you, and still sleeping on Sunday, what's the difference? What difference has it been, is known to them? And then in verses 19 through 22, just going to kind of shorten it up a little bit, Peter's going to point back to Noah. And while the world continued in disobedience, Noah is a prime example of someone who kept obeying God. Kept building that boat, building the ark, obeying God. Where's the water? Where's the rain? Noah, what are you doing? We can only imagine the neighbors walking by like, that's just crazy Noah.
Yeah.
He is just doing what Noah does. And that's what he's always been. But while the world continued in disobedience, Noah lived a life that was transformed by Christ that everyone was able to see. Not by his words, not by anything he was saying, but literally by the way he lived. He was living differently. So Peter reminds the believers he's talking to that following God faithfully has always meant living differently from the world around you. And Peter connects the next part of this picture to baptism, that water itself is not what saves us, but baptism is pointing back to the inward work of God in our life. And through obedience to Jesus Christ and our public identification with Him, that we are striving to be with Him. So just as Noah trusted God and was brought to safety through the flood, believers are saved through Christ and brought into a new life with Him through baptism by the Holy Spirit. But once we are baptized, once you've taken that step, are we living a different life? Are you living a transformed life? Are you living in a way that reflects your new life with God? Or did you just do something and then go back and get in your car and just do the same things? And trust me, I know we're all guilty of it. We're all like, every one of us is like, this is what I did, probably the same. I'm still doing this, I'm still doing that. And Peter is bringing everything back to Jesus. In verse 22, it says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities and powers in submission to Him." So Jesus is reigning now. Do we understand that? Do we understand that Jesus is alive and reigning right now? Now.
Amen.
Every authority is already under Him. Every power is already under Him. And if Jesus reigns, then discipleship means living under that authority that He already has. So it should change how we speak. It should change how we pursue our life. It should change how we treat people, how we handle sin, what we prioritize. Because once we realize that Christ truly reigns, How can we keep living a life that belongs to ourselves? And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. So Peter is telling the believers that following Jesus requires intentionality. You do not accidentally drift into this life, but Christ suffered and remained obedient to the Father. And now believers are called to prepare themselves with that same mindset, to be obedient to him. And he says something important at the end of verse 1 that I don't want to miss it. Whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So what Peter is not saying is that believers become perfect. A light switch doesn't just flip on and all of a sudden we're just perfect people. Yeah. Probably the exact opposite. We're still sinful, but now it's kind of like a light is on us. And now it's like your sin is exposed. And thank the Lord it's exposed, but it's a double-edged sword because your sin is exposed and you're like, hey, I didn't know this was here. It's a lot easier to hide when I wasn't here. But now I can see it, but guess what? So can they. So, okay, now I gotta think about some things. Something that was hidden in my life that I was able to hide because I wasn't a Christian and it didn't matter if that was true. But now that I'm with Christ and Christ is the light of my life.
Amen.
This is exposed, and it's what will you do in that situation? What will you do when your life? So he says, whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So he's not saying we've become perfect. He's saying something has changed in the relationship with sin. So a disciple of Jesus can no longer live comfortably under the control of sin in their life. Because of Christ and their growing understanding of him in their lives, they continually want to turn away from sin. The sin in their life. And that what they were bound to before. So as we learn about Christ, as we grow into a deeper relationship with him, not just knowing him, we should become more obedient to him. Amen. Just as the same in my marriage and hopefully your marriage and everything else, I wasn't at the beginning, but not in that way. Hold on. Let me clear all this up. So, at the beginning of a relationship, you make commitments, right? You say, you're my girlfriend. You're who I'm hanging out with. You're who I'm calling. All these things. But it's intentionality that follows after that that shows the fruit of that labor that forms into obedience. And then as you get progress into that relationship, let's say you get married, your marriage is continually going, by the way, almost at 17 years, zinga. Okay? What am I saying? Oh, you're like, that's a little puppy numbers. Whatever. I got golden retriever energy today, I'm fine. But through that lifestyle, and through the commitment I have with my wife, I become more obedient to her. Not because I care more. I mean, I definitely continue to care more, but it's because as we learn about our spouse, we learn about each other, and we become more obedient to that knowledge, right? Christ is the same. If you just open up and start a relationship with Christ, with Christ, but you don't call him, you don't hang out with him, you don't understand him, you don't ask questions like, hey, Jesus, who are you? What is your favorite thing to do? What does your life look like? What is your, build the relationship. And as you build a relationship with the knowledge and word of God, you should become more obedient to his word.
Amen.
And that's what I think, that's what I'm striving for our church to be. It's not a church that's flashy, not a church that has the next coolest lights, but a church that is committed and deeply rooted into the Word of God to become more obedient to the Word of God in our discipleship. for God. So a disciple of Jesus can no longer live comfortably under the sin that was once in control of their life. And in verse 2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And that's the shift discipleship produces. Life stops revolving around our human desires and starts being shaped by the will of God.
Amen.
And Peter gets very direct in verses 3 and 4, okay? He describes the old life, drunkenness, lust, reckless living, idolatry, and the patterns that once controlled people. He says that the world is surprised when believers no longer join them in these things. In other words, following Jesus should eventually create a visible difference in someone's life. Not being perfect. In the Wesleyan Church, we call this progressive sanctification. The pathway of living more obediently every day, closer and closer to Christ in our life. But so we're not being perfect overnight. It is not a light switch. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way, but transformation over time. And the world should notice that Christ is changing the way we live, the things we pursue, the way we speak, and the things that we're willing to participate in our life. And then in verse 5, Peter reminds them, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge for the living and the dead. They will eventually, ultimately, have to give an account to God. Which means that discipleship is not about fitting into the culture of what's going to make people happy and help them understand, or gaining the approval of the world around us and saying, let me tell you about Jesus in your way. Let's have this together. I'll conform a little bit over here because I want people to know who Christ is in my life, but I want them to also like me, so I'm going to... But then you're just blending in with the world. You're not living a life that's apart from them. So it's obedience when we understand that our lives now belong to Christ. And that's where I think the church needs to be very careful, that we cannot say we want people to come to Christ if we are also refusing to let Christ transform us. Because the goal is not just to get people in because we're all in the same book club, or we have the same taste in music. The goal is to become disciples who are actually being shaped by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we live with that urgency towards discipleship and obedience, people will see it. People will hear it. People will ask questions about it and say, why are you different? And you get to have the opportunity to share your testimony with others. That's one thing, side note, I'm gonna try to get through this quickly, but side note, when we were here yesterday, that was one thing that I liked hearing about from the boardmans, was that the way that they're sharing Christ over there is just very simple. I forget, like, what do they call them? Conversation things?
Conversation club.
Because they're teaching English and they're just having conversations in English. But they're not shying away from the fact that they're a Christian organization. And then after this conversation club, they say, hey, you can stay, and we're gonna also have a Bible study in English. And people kind of stay into that. And people, names and everything, but they told us of a story of a husband who heard this thing, who went home and was having a conversation with his wife, kind of baffled, not understanding this thing, but it led their child, their son, to go, who's God? Are you kidding me? They don't even know who God is, but because of the curiosity and the back and forth, the child was, who's God? And now as a parent, they're like, huh, I would love to answer your question, but I don't know. When they go back to Bible study. And it was simply through conversation club, talking to somebody in English. Now, over here, we talk in English, so we kind of have to fill around, figure out a different role. But I'm just saying, they're living differently. And as a result, people are asking questions. The goal is to become disciples who are actually being shaped by Jesus so that people see the difference in us. And Peter shifts again in verse 7, and he says that the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Peter is talking about urgency. He's creating urgency. He's reminding believers that life is short. Christ is reigning now. We are not promised tomorrow. Like, Lord willing, I want to be here tomorrow. I want to see my kids grow, like all the things. But we are not promised tomorrow. So it's really hard for us to get into a pattern of saying, I'll get closer to God tomorrow. I'll become a deeper rooted in obedience in my discipleship tomorrow. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. So the urgency is now. Christ is reigning now. Eternity is real. And because of that, believers cannot afford to drift spiritually through life distracted with everything else. So Peter is saying to be alert, sober-minded, so that you may pray. In other words, a distracted, spiritually careless life will eventually weaken your prayer life too. But when someone begins to live in awareness that time matters, Christ is reigning, and that changes the way you pray. You stop treating prayer like an afterthought. Oh yeah, I forgot to pray today. You stop treating prayer about it's only when life seems to fall apart. Lord, help me today because this is a rough day. But instead, they begin seeking God intentionally because they realize that they need Him daily. Lord, be with me today. When you wake up, Lord, help me through today. Lord, help me show your life today. So Peter is calling believers to wake up and live with purpose. They're wondering, how do we live in a life when the world is like this? We have accepted Christ, how do we live different? And Peter is saying, yes, live different. Follow Christ, live obediently to Him. Show them that you are different. And Peter moves into that, what kind of life this should begin producing inside the church. In verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. So after talking about leaving the old life behind, living under the authority of Christ, and living with this urgency, Peter now shows what discipleship should begin producing in the relationships within the body of Christ. Peter says believers should love each other deeply. Not only when everything feels easy, not only when they want to, but the kind of love that forgives, embraces one another, bears one another, stays committed to one another, lifts each other up, and builds the body of Christ. Because the reality is, I don't know if you guys have known this, churches are filled with imperfect people. And if every person only fights for the vision of church that they personally prefer, the body of Christ will not grow. If we're all doing our own thing, we're not in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ was for Christ. Christ is the head.
Amen.
How is my hand moving? For the head. How am I living? For Christ. We're not just over here doing our own thing and flailing around and like, ooh, trying to do all this. We are living for Christ. We are living in Him. And that changes how we speak to one another. That changes how we should handle our disagreements. That changes how we should welcome people. And changes how we serve. And I think this matters deeply for our church. Because if Antioch Wesleyan Church is going to become a church that God is calling us to be, then love cannot just be something that we say we value. It needs to be something that shapes the culture of who we are in the way we live together as the body of Christ, to show Christ to the world around us. And if we do things that are not showing love to the world around us, not showing Christ to the world around us, then we are not living for Christ in here. And we do that by living deeper in the Word of God, living obediently to the Word of God, hanging out with each other, fellowshipping with each other, going to classes, going to Bible studies, being in fellowship, all those things. That's why in the course of the summer, we're going to be starting our foundation classes, more to come, not a conversation right now. That clock is moving really fast. But we are going to become more rooted. I'm not saying that we are not following Christ. The opposite. I'm saying that God is asking me, as the pastor of our church, to bring us into a deeper relationship with Christ. And that's going to require commitment. That's going to require trust. That's going to require us to sit down, open His Word, and talk through it.
Amen.
Open up to each other. Pray for each other. And do things together. And Peter continues in verse 9 saying, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I think it's important because a disciple-shaped church opens its life to others, including our community. Hospitality in Scripture is so much deeper than simply living and inviting someone over for dinner every once in a while. That is a part of it. But it's making room in your life for people. It's choosing to welcome them, care for them, walk alongside of others who need help, walking along others who don't know Christ, taking the time to say, hey, you have questions? I got time. You need prayer? I got time. Maybe a lot of our prayers in the morning shouldn't be about, Lord, help me through the day. It should be, Lord, help clear my schedule. So that way, if you need somebody to come to me for prayer, if you need somebody to come into my life to learn about you, I am available. I have nothing else to do. This administrative stuff doesn't need to happen. Lord, give me the strength and the ability to type fast, get this out of the way so I can go out and love people. That's my prayer. Amen. I want to be out there more. And Peter says something very important at the end, without grumbling. Why would Peter need to add that anything? It's because loving people can become inconvenient. People take time. People are messy. People interrupt our routines and comfort. But discipleship teaches us to stop treating people like interruptions and start treating people as people that Christ loves deeply. And a church cannot reach people while remaining relationally closed. We cannot say we want people to know Jesus if we keep everyone at a distance. So at some point, discipleship has to move beyond sitting in rows on Sunday mornings. And it has to move into relationships, conversations, serving, welcoming, encouraging, praying with people, and making room for others to belong. And that's what I think Antioch Wesleyan Church is going to be becoming more of. And Peter brings this section into this place where he says in verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So every one of us has received something from God. Not just pastors, not just leaders, not just ministers, not just the people that are already serving, but every believer has been given something that is meant to strengthen the body of Christ. And Peter is clear that our gifts are not for, they're not for personal attention, but they are given so we can build the body of Christ. They're given so God's grace can move through His people for the good of others, so people can visibly see God in our life. And he gives two examples in verse 11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Guess how you do that? You need to know the word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. In other words, whatever God has given you, use it faithfully and dependently to serve the Lord. And that's why serving is not something about just filling an empty hole. It's not filling just a spot. Because that would be too small of a vision. Serving is a part of discipleship because God forms us as we give ourselves over to the sake of others. When we use our gifting to serve others. Because Peter says that the goal is so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to strive for in everything we do. Not our comfort, not our preference, not keeping things the same, but God's glory through a church that is being shaped by Jesus and serving faithfully in his strength. Peter is telling these people to live differently. He's telling these people to show a different life. And we are all called to be disciples of Christ. Not all of us are called to be leaders and to create leaders of discipleship in Christ, but we are all called to be disciples in Christ. We are all called to disciple others, to become disciples. So being a church that is a church that makes disciples who make disciples does not mean you have to step into a leadership role. Does not mean you have to step into a ministry role. Does not mean you have to be a front runner of some program. We do need those. God has gifted you in that area. Let's go. But if you are just called to grow deeper in Christ, you are still called to bring someone alongside you and help them grow, build them up, teach them how to do the same so they can go to the person next to them and do the same. And that's discipleship. So we're putting an intentional focus on discipleship. Not for programs, but because spiritual growth does not happen accidentally. And Jesus did not call us to simply attend church on Sundays. He calls us to follow him, be transformed by his word, and make disciples. Because we do not want to stay spiritually stagnant. We don't want to just stay in our own bubble. So this week, I want you to honestly ask God, Lord, what is my next faithful step in following you? For some, that might be leaving an old pattern behind. For some, that might be leaving something behind that Christ is convicting you of. For some, it means being more intentional in your walk with God instead of just spiritually drifting and just kind of hopping into this and doing your own thing. For some, it means stepping into discipleship more seriously, getting rooted in God's word, serving others faithfully, helping someone else follow Jesus, which, by the way, we all should be doing. Because Peter's message throughout this whole section is very clear that Christ suffered, Christ rose, and Christ reigns now. And because he reigns, his people are called to live differently. Peter was writing to believers in a world who did not fully understand their faith, yet he calls them to remain faithful, obedient, loving, prayerful, and committed to one another anyway. Because the more they do that, and the more they understand who Christ is in their life, the more obedient they become and realize that that's what Christ has called them to anyway. And I believe that the church in the world today still needs to hear that same reminder that if Jesus truly reigns, we cannot treat Christianity like something casual on a Sunday or something we just attend once a week. We are called to follow him faithfully. We are called for him to transform our life and to live in a way that helps the world clearly see Jesus Christ through us. Because he's not only our Savior, he is Lord of all. And discipleship is learning to live every part of our lives under his authority. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.